Now, Wisconsin's Department of Health Services reported 464 more cases of COVID-19 yesterday. The state's average rate of positive tests has gone up more than a percentage point from mid-June. DHS says 22 Wisconsin counties have high levels of coronavirus activity. That comes as big states like California, Florida, and Texas are dealing with major outbreaks and putting reopening plans on hold until they get cases under control. Dr. Jonathan Tempte is Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's chair of the Wisconsin Council on Immunization Practices. Dr. Tempte, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure to join you on this stormy afternoon.
Yes, it is indeed. Now, what is standing out to you, first of all, with the numbers here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think everywhere we look, the case count is going up. Dane County had a fairly substantial increase in the last 24 hours of 76 cases. State of Wisconsin had 520 new cases. So we're seeing things just unfortunately increase instead of decrease.
And now we're seeing reports around the country, big states, the Texases, Californias, Floridas, around the world, seeing lots of cases, setting records, cutting back or dialing back their reopening plans. What's going on out there?
Well, I think we're seeing the same thing everywhere. First and foremost, this is a very tenacious virus. It is with us. It's not going away. If you look at the pattern across the entire United States, you find that in March and April, there was this rapid acceleration upward. We hit a peak. We gradually came down. We plateaued at the end of May, and now we are starting to explode again. It's really accelerating. And we're getting to levels that are higher than we reached at the peak in April. And I think all this comes along with our complacency and thinking that, oh, we've gotten through this. We're backing away from all those tried and true things that we know work, including face masking, social distancing, good hand hygiene, and just being smart.
There was a stretch where this following statement was probably true. We're only seeing bigger numbers because we're doing more testing. A month ago, that might have been accurate. Is that the story right now, though?
Well, indeed, we are doing more and more testing, but the concerning part is that of late, we're finding the positivity rate of testing going up here in Dane County and across the state. We're seeing this occurring across other jurisdictions and other states across the country as well. So whereas we're seeing more testing going on, we're actually seeing more cases and we're seeing more hospitalizations. Fortunately, so far in Wisconsin, we're doing pretty well.
Talking to Dr. Jonathan Tempte from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the latest news and numbers when it comes to COVID-19 in Wisconsin and around the country. You mentioned hospitals being overwhelmed. I wanted to quote from this piece that appeared in the New York Times by a Dr. Bradley Dreyfus, emergency physician at the University of Arizona. He writes about health workers being overwhelmed there, like we were seeing in New York City earlier. I'm going to quote. He says, I'm willing to sacrifice for the greater good of the public. I took an oath to that effect when I became a physician, but the public has to sacrifice some too if we want to get through this as safely as possible. So that's somebody who's in the midst of it in another hotspot, Arizona. Can you talk about that message he had for the public there?
Well, absolutely. When we're making decisions not only for ourselves, but for everyone else out there. I now find myself in a demographic where by age alone, I'm considered at higher risk. That being said, I'm very careful when I go out to wear a mask, and that's primarily to protect other people around. I could be harboring this virus without knowing it, and doing my duty and out of respect for my other community dwellers, I'm willing to take that little bit of inconvenience so that we all might be a little bit healthier.
The White House Coronavirus Task Force gave its first briefing in quite a while today. I want to listen to Dr. Anthony Fauci talking about states that have generally seen their numbers decline and haven't had major problems yet.
They are vulnerable. If we don't extinguish the outbreak, sooner or later, even ones that are doing well are going to be vulnerable to the spread. So we need to take that into account because we are all in it together. And the only way we're going to end it is by ending it together.
And it seems like, yeah, we've got this whack-a-mole situation. My state is doing okay now. We relax the restrictions, but it pops up over there. They get tougher. It comes over here. Then we have to get tougher. Why is it so hard to coordinate this nationwide?
Well, I think the thing going on is this is a virus which will take opportunities where they're offered. Where we are less careful, where we let down our guard, it'll pop up. And without having a comprehensive national approach to this, we're going to see the patchwork of state-to-state, county-to-county approaches. And with this virus as widespread as it is right now, there's no going back. We just have to be responsible and do the things that we know will at least slow things down.
Let's get to some specifics here. I was looking at some of the projections. I think this is the one out of University of Washington. I could be wrong, but they show two different projections. One, we keep going kind of like we are now. One, we get really good at wearing masks. A difference in deaths by October of 40,000. Masks can really make that big a difference?
Masks can really make that big of a difference. There have been some very good studies now looking both at masking and at distancing, and both are really quite effective. Heard a comment earlier today about if there was a treatment out there that would lower the risk of you coming down with this by 80%, would you take it? A lot of people would. Well, a mask can do that. Likewise, maintaining that social distancing has an equally strong effect, particularly at that 6-foot perimeter. This can really have an enormous effect and help slow this on down. And without these, I fear we're going to start seeing things accelerate again. I have to go back to my favorite modeling paper that was published in April of this year. And what we're seeing right now is basically what was predicted in that paper if we relaxed on the social distancing and the public health measures. We're kind of getting right back to where we were. And unfortunately, the consequences going back to the closures of businesses and various activities, which harm all of us.
I want to bring up something that's been all over social media. There's video of people bringing this up, even in, you know, city council meetings where they're talking about mask mandates. People raising the concern, the belief that if you wear a mask, you can get carbon dioxide poisoning. Can you explain that idea to us and what we know?
Well, the masks are very permeable to molecules of oxygen and carbon dioxide. They freely diffuse out. So unless you're undergoing very, very heavy exercise, there is no credence to that. I think back to my days as a medical student scrubbing into some of the skin grafting cases, which might go on for 12 hours, and being in a mask for most of that, and coming out feeling really hot, but otherwise unscathed.
Right. We have people whose line of work involves wearing masks for long periods of time. This carbon dioxide thing, not an issue.
Not an issue.
We're talking to Dr. John Tempty, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at some of the latest news, numbers, and developments in the COVID-19 pandemic. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about where things are headed with the coronavirus? Do you have thoughts on or questions about transmission, safety measures, the numbers you're seeing? Are you doing things like wearing a mask when you leave your home, when you go into, say, businesses or visit with people? Have you changed your lifestyle back to the old normal? Are you living in a new normal or somewhere in between? If you're working in healthcare yourself, what are you seeing? What do you want to see from the public? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Dr. Jonathan Tempty from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the latest on the COVID-19 numbers here in Wisconsin and around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for our guest about the numbers we're seeing, what they mean, how things are trending? Are you concerned about people not taking safety measures in public? Are you still putting activities on hold? If you're in healthcare yourself, what are you seeing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. We have Elizabeth on the line in Madison. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi. I just had a quick question. I went to the doctor's office. My husband found an N95 downstairs. Apparently, I guess it's a construction N95. The doctor's office said, no, you have to wear one of our masks. That's not protecting us because it's expelling. I guess it allows for breathing. So I was wondering, and they gave me a paper mask. Should I wear the paper mask under the N95? I'm confused now what to do.
Elizabeth, thanks for calling. I think Elizabeth's probably not alone in confusion over the different masks out there, Dr. Tempty.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Elizabeth. A lot of the N95 masks that you can purchase, for example, at the hardware store, will have a vent in it, so when you exhale, the air goes out really easily. It filters things coming to you, but doesn't filter anything going out. And the concern from the healthcare center is for all those other patients who are in the waiting room, and for the healthcare providers, the medical assistants, the nurses, the laboratory staff, and so on. And so the protocols are set to use that surgical mask, which we know will prevent the transmission of respiratory droplets if you cough, sneeze, or talk loudly. And this will kind of protect those people around you. You're correct in the assumption that that's not going to protect you so much. But if you go into your clinics, you'll find that all the medical staff there are wearing masks. They're typically wearing a shield as well. And we know that those two together are very, very effective in preventing in transmission.
Thanks for that call, Elizabeth. We heard from a caller named Courtney calling from Appleton, who says, as a manager at a grocery store, Courtney sees the general public going back to the original way of operating, seeing little mask wearing, large groups, lots of regulars coming in and out. I know one of my grocery stores has been saying over the loudspeaker, try to limit one trip per week. Have we gone back to the old ways of doing things too fast, Dr. Tempty, as Courtney is observing?
Yeah, I think we have. The big thing out there is the possibility of transmission with virtually any encounter. And what we know more about this virus is that for early on, after you're infected and start producing your own levels of virus, many people are going to be asymptomatic or have low symptoms, so things that they don't even recognize as illness. Some people actually go through the entire illness without ever feeling sick. Some people, unfortunately, get a whole lot sicker. But we never quite know who might be carrying this and at what time. And so the best approach right now, especially as we're seeing things accelerate, is to be very precautionary and assume the worst, assume that you might be carrying this, and think of those other people around you. And in particular, even if you're interacting with younger people, realize those younger people have exposure to parents, to grandparents, to infants, and other people who might be vulnerable to this virus.
Let's go to another caller now. Janet is with us in Elgin, Illinois. Janet, hi.
Yes, I've been going to stores where people don't cover their noses with their masks. And I say something to them, but sometimes they get belligerent.
Dr. Tempty, covering the mouth but not the nose with a mask.
Yeah, and the mask is designed for both the nose and the mouth. We know that by the sheer act of breathing, we can push out particles containing virus. And if you have to stop and think for a second, when people make virus, they're making billions and billions of copies of this virus. It's not just a little, it's a whole lot. And the more we can stem the tide of that virus coming out and having transmission, the more all of us are going to do better. and the sooner, for example, our economy can come back to a more normal state.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Dennis now in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. When I go out shopping, I'm wondering, well, since I'm running out of alcohol, when I clean off milk cartons and packages of frozen foods, would a freezer necessarily dry out the coronaviruses, or would they just kind of die? And what about my clothes? Am I supposed to launder my clothes after every time I go out?
Dennis, thanks a lot for that call. And Dr. Tempty, there was a lot of concern early on about the surfaces and wiping down everything with alcohol wipes. What is the latest on that we know about transmission via, like, that milk carton or the clothes you wear to the grocery store?
Well, I'm far more concerned about that respiratory droplet spread than I am about surfaces. And indeed, if somebody coughs and there are droplets of saliva or other respiratory droplets that stay on the surface, yeah, the virus can stay alive for some time. And for example, on clothing and porous things, it's actually a very, very short time. Things like some plastics and impermeable, it can stay longer. So if you're really concerned, the simple act of putting that milk carton in the refrigerator and not touching it for 8 hours, you should be fine. But for the most part, we're not particularly concerned anymore about that surface spread. It's much more that person-to-person through respiratory transmission.
Thanks a lot for that call, Dennis. We're talking to Dr. Jonathan Tempty from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the latest on COVID-19. Let's talk about that respiratory transmission and where it happens. I've seen looks out west trying to say, hey, are we seeing more cases because of protests or because of parties and bars? In Dane County, there's concern about businesses near UW-Madison, which I think means bars. Do we know about the types of events that seem to be likely to spread and maybe even super spread the virus?
Well, there are a number of good case examples now of spread within closed, confined spaces, especially when you have gatherings of many people. So a bar situation definitely is a risk. Things like, unfortunately, churches are a risk where people are in close proximity, and particularly if they're singing and so on and close together. The bottom line is with this virus, we tend to think of the length of time you're near somebody and the proximity. So if I'm out walking, I have an office fairly close to Vilas Park, and if I'm walking down the trail and there's someone coming past me and we pass, I'm not really concerned about that brief encounter, but it's a factor of the amount of time and the closeness that you are. And so when we're packed together, we really don't even like that. But if you can't avoid at least close contact for a little bit, you know, use that mask and expect the others around you to use that mask.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Alex is with us in Hartford. Alex, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Alex?
Good. The point I wanted to bring out is that, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on wearing masks. And also some of the guidance is to not touch your face, especially your eyes, since they are very vulnerable. So the question is, isn't the virus floating around in air, aren't the eyes susceptible to catching the virus right through your eyes?
Interesting, Dr. Tempty. Do we know about the virus transmission via our eyes?
Well, that's a very good question, and it is certainly possible. I don't know of any absolute studies that says yes or no, but there's anecdotal evidence that this may happen. On the other hand, walking through a room that there have been people in is actually pretty low risk. On the other hand, if you're close to somebody and there's a cough, sneeze, or a respiratory droplet that lands in your eye, that person's infected, there's a very good likelihood that transmission will occur. And that's why we find in medical settings, and when I'm in clinic, I'm in my mask, I'm in my face shield, and that's protecting me. I also wear glasses, so I'm protected in numerous ways for both my eyes, my nose, and my mouth. Also, when you go into a medical setting, you find that we're fastidious about washing our hands. Well, either using soap and water for 20 to 30 seconds or using the gel when we come into the room, when we leave a room, when we come back into the room. So all these things together we know are beneficial, but we have to kind of keep this up for the long game. We're in this for the long haul, I'm afraid. And I don't see any good simple fixes coming anytime soon.
And in our last few minutes, Dr. Tempty, I wanted to ask about, you know, we're testing more, we're doing some contact tracing. Part three is supposed to be isolate. Do we know if when people have that positive diagnosis, if they're trying to limit their contact with others?
Well, we do know that if you are positive, you're going to be shedding virus for somewhere around 7 to 10 days. We can find the traces of the virus much, much longer with our molecular techniques called polymerase chain reaction. But in terms of contagiousness, this is probably limited to no more than about 2 weeks. So most of the recommendations for isolation, if you're positive, is for about 2 weeks. There's also quarantining, which we use for people who are exposed and we don't know whether or not they're positive. But with more and more testing available, we can get people out of quarantine if they have a negative test.
We'll leave it there for now. Dr. Tempty, as always, thanks for joining us.
Well, and thank you, too, and have a wonderful weekend.
You, too. That's Dr. Jonathan Tempty, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He was with us to talk about the rising positive test rate for COVID-19 here in Wisconsin and elsewhere in the country. You can let us know what questions you have about coronavirus by going to wpr.org/whysconsin.